I'm going to read you three verses, and then we'll begin. Romans 14, 13 says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in our brother's way. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? And Romans 2, 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passed to judge dishes. School grades at home, right? Those are non-biblical things, from my perspective, that I would have certain ideals for my children to be raised. But then our biblical ideals, learning the word of God, being respectful to others, telling the truth, not lying, working for wages, not stealing, loving the Lord, his people, and the lost, and no illegal activity in the house. So what are these two different sections? These two sections are the fact that one has no eternal value whatsoever. There are certain that we do in life, certain things that we like, certain ideals that we have or customs that really have no eternal value. But then when we bring the kingdom of God into our lives, we have another set of ideals that we can still have these other worldly ideals or non-biblical ideals, which can be good, it can be bad, right? But then there's the ideals of the Lord. And those have extreme eternal consequences. And so how we deal with each of those is how we learn to judge. And I'm going to go through three scriptures and pointing out the different aspects of those. Let's turn now to... I want to give you another excuse. An example. There was a time when I was younger and I grew up and I would want certain of the personal values. When they were not meeting to my expectations, I would have a tendency to lose my cool, right, so to speak, and just totally blowing the whole process of trying to exhibit the godly character, right? I want these certain things, but I would lose my cool and do something that would just kind of ruin the other. But yet now that I'm a grandfather, I've learned a couple of things. And one of those things is now that when we have our granddaughter visit, right, the whole house changes immediately. That's because there's a lot of energy that just walked into the door. And stuff comes, I mean, everything just gets taken out of the boxes and we just see stuff everywhere, right? And so it just changes the whole atmosphere. And yet when I was a younger parent, I would be really upset with those things. You got to put them in order. Don't throw this. Don't do that. But now we just let her be herself. I mean, not that she's purposely destructive, but she's just full of energy and full of life, and she's very creative. She wants to do this and do that and run from here to there and blah, 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 right? And one of the interesting things that I had to learn in the past couple of months was our granddaughter she loves dresses. You know, she gets on a new dress, she starts spinning around, and she just loves dresses. And then one night I went to put her to bed, and I was trying to take her dress off, and she started screaming, no, I'm going to wear my dress today. But I was insistent that she needed pajamas to go to bed. Well, we did that one night, and she had a terrible night's sleep. She was all upset. I got her all wound up. And then I spoke to her mother. She said, read this letter about sleeping in a dress. And I'm like, oh, no eternal value whatsoever. And yet, by allowing her to wear her dress to bed, she's at peace, she's in good sleep all night, she's in a good mood, it's good for her health, it's good for her psyche as a little girl, And so if she wants to wear her dress down to bed, that's fine. If he wants to go on the bed, we'll just throw it into the bed with you. We give her a pile of books that she reads in the dark. How she does that, I don't know. But then she starts throwing them off the bed to hear clunk, 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 clunk. And when all the clunks are done, we turn around and she's about to sleep. So I've learned a lot over the years. But I want you guys to look at that concept and those principles. And now we're going to bring them into the kingdom because they're the same. There are some things that are in the kingdom that are customary. There are things in the kingdom that have no eternal value whatsoever. And yet we need to know how to deal with them. Sound good? First passage, Romans 14. Let's go there. You have everybody there? Romans 14, starting verse 1. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. One who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. He who eats does it for the Lord. He who gives thanks to God, and he who eats not, for the Lord does not, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For no one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whatever we live, or whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of the dead and of the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother? As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us should be tough. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in his way.
Actions.
There are non-biblical things that have no eternal value. See, because all of us have certain convictions, and what was happening here in the Church of Rome, Paul was addressing the Jew and the Gentile. He's trying to speak some life to these two totally opposite groups of people. One are very religious, they have all these customs and laws, and one is a big thing about food. Food is a very, and still is a very, very big thing in the Jewish community. And here comes all these ragtag guys coming out of the Roman Empire who are getting saved, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're eating anything they want. And so there's this stuff going on within the church. And yet Paul says we are not to be judging those things. I'll give you a good example of how that works out here, okay? There are people that are very convinced that they should not be drinking any alcohol. And between them and the Lord, they choose not to drink alcohol. Whatever reasons that may be, okay? But there are others that feel free to drink alcohol before the Lord, and that's okay too. But we should not be judging one another that, oh, they're drinking alcohol, they shouldn't do it because this is what I'm going to do. And yet, if we look into the Bible about drinking, drinking alcohol is okay. But if you choose not to drink it, that's okay too. And Paul was saying, don't do this to put a stumbling block. When we start judging people for their personal convictions, and we start judging them, We're putting a stumbling block in front of them. Here's another example that I've experienced being in church, is there are people that are convinced they need to homeschool their children because they have a difficulty with the system that is out there, the public system. Okay? And so their conviction is, I'm going to take my children out of the public school system and we're going to make a sacrifice on their behalf and we're going to homeschool our children, which is a wonderful decision. But there comes times when people will begin to judge either one or the other. Why are you putting your kids in public school if there's all stuff going on here? Why don't you home and be all this stuff start? And what are they doing? They're beginning to judge one another based on their convictions. And neither of them have any eternal value. Other than they want to input their kids in a particular way. I know my wife, because she is a teacher, she wanted to teach in public schools, not in a private school. Why? Because she wanted to be light and salt in the public community. She didn't want to isolate herself into a Christian school, even though she taught in both. And so these are the things that we are called scripturally not to judge. Right? And one of the things I just want to give an applaud to is the gals who do our dinners on Wednesday night during the school year. We have the Messianic Jewish community serve with us. They are very strict with their eating. And on occasions, we cook a ham for the community. But they are very sensitive to the needs of the Dachayim, and so they also cook a turkey breast for them, so that we can still eat together. We're honoring one another, no one's judging one another, and guess what? There's a unity there, and we're serving together, and we're all at peace, and no one takes offense one way or the other. And it tastes good, too. And then I get to have a little turkey and ham, gosh, right? Now that's my benefit. They can't have both. And I'm sure there are other things that we have dealt with. You know, I remember my son growing up, and I really struggled as a young boy. My dad, who came out of World War II, he wanted a buzz cut on my head all the time. You know, this short crew cut, everything. And just about that time, the boy's hair was starting to get longer, it was starting to drip over the ears, and I had to put my hair back. And I just felt so embarrassed every time. So I decided that my children can have their hair any way they want. And my son did exactly that. Joel had all kinds of color and stuff in his hair. Long hair, short hair, blonde hair, green hair, whatever. He said, no eternal value whatsoever. Right? Anyway, okay. So that's the first scripture. That's a place where we are called not to judge. All right. So let's turn to our second passage, 1 Corinthians 5. First Corinthians 5, starting in verse 1. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind that does not even exist among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has committed this as though I were present. In the name of the Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan from the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Verse 12. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man among yourselves. Now, that was a very difficult situation for the Corinthian church, was to have that type of immorality, where a son is in relationship with his father's wife. Now, in that particular passage, I think it was not his mother, biological mother, I think it was his mother's wife that was part of. But in any case, they didn't do anything about it. And because of that, their hearts became hardened. In other words, they were allowing sin in the church. Paul judged that. He judged that to the point where he actually, in the spirit, turned that person over to Satan. That's a very strong statement. In the spirit, he turns them over. It's basically he's saying, you just destroy his flesh. Why? So that his soul might be saved. So, this is a very important lesson for us to understand in the days that we live in, because when I look around the church at large, there's all kinds of perverse things that have come in that people are allowing to go on in the church, and they're calling it the body of Christ. And it's not being spoken to. And yet, Paul is saying we need to speak to those things because this is a holy place. His body is holy. We are to be holy, and we are to be free from all the immoral things that the world wants to do. So we need to judge those things. Those are things that we need to judge appropriately as well, as we'll see in the next passage. And those are very difficult things to do. We've had to address some of the things like that here over the years, and they're very sensitive, very difficult issues to take care of. But we have a responsibility in our homes. Are you addressing them? You are to address those. Because your home is to serve the Lord. Your home is to be the light and salt of the kingdom. And if you're just allowing things to happen in your house and not addressing them, I believe you're wrong. I've had to address some of those things in my house, and it's caused heartache, it's caused big heartaches. But I felt before the Lord there were things that I needed to address. I think I shared this with you once before. There was stealing going on in my house. And I was getting upset because I was not stealing. And I don't believe my wife was stealing. Things were just ringing. But in any case, in that particular circumstance, the Lord showed me in that situation, because we prayed about it. He said that there was an object in the house that was attracting a spirit of stealing in the house. And that object, I brought into the house. It was something I had stolen before I was saved, and I still had it. And that object was influencing my children to steal. And how do I know that? It's because when I got rid of it, it stopped. And I confessed my sin to my children for stealing that. And I did say, there's been stealing going on here. But I believe I was the instigator. So we get rid of the object, we repent, and the spirit is gone. Isn't that cool? So to me, that's the righteous judgment. That is the righteous judgment we need to do in our homes, we need to do in the house of God. Okay? But then there is unrighteous judgment, and we're going to turn to that passage next. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. This is where that little thing went off before when we started the service. Let's see if it goes off again. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you, who passes judgment. For in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you, the judge, practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God is right. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and the tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? I don't know what was being judged here, but something was not right. And Paul very clearly points out what was wrong. Here were people teaching and instructing that something was wrong. That, to me, is unrighteousness. It's like, how can we tell our children not to use curse words, and yet we're out in the backyard cursing at our neighbor? You know what I mean? That's totally unrighteous. Again, Paul was addressing this unique dynamic of the Jews and the Gentiles getting together and how they were dealing with each other, especially culturally. Well, even religiously, right? Is because here the Jewish people, they had this this form and this structure and their holidays where they do certain things, and they had these animal sacrifices, and they just went through these continual rituals, and then all of a sudden these Gentiles were coming in who had, some of them had absolutely no religious background. If anything, it was all cultish. They were worshiping demons and idols and all these other kinds of things. And I can imagine how the Jews were reacting to these unclean people coming in their midst. And even though they had just possibly receive the Lord and being filled with the Spirit, they're like, I don't want to touch you guys. You know, look at your lifestyle, look how you've lived and all this other stuff. And then the Gentiles, on the other hand, are looking at these guys and say, oh, why are you having to do all this stuff? I got saved, I didn't need all this ritual stuff. And you know, there's this clash of the cultures, there's a clash of the religious structure going on. And in the midst of that, there was judgment going on. And I can bring that right down to very practical things. Is sometimes we have people walk into the doors of the church that we're like, we just look at them, right? You say, oh my goodness. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you look at them and you walk the other way. So in other words, you're passing judgment on someone who's coming in, you don't want to sit with them, you don't want to talk to them, or whatever, you know. Don't tell me that doesn't happen, but it happens. Sometimes it's hard for us to open up, to go out and reach out. When a stranger comes in. Now, some of it is just based on fear, some of it is just based on your personality, but sometimes it's based on judgment. You know, I don't want to interact with those people because, and that's what was going on here. Paul becomes very clear. Let's turn to verse 17. Now he's speaking specifically to the Jews here. And know to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having the law, the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? You who say you should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? For you who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? And that is not good. I thought maybe I'm thinking that they probably thought that they were doing righteous judgment, but it wasn't because they were being good. Does that make sense? There's an unrighteous judgment. That's why I said before, am I judging? Yeah, I hate it. They can crawl outside.
Applause.
That we have our act all together, and that we now need to judge those who don't have it right. And the other part of the scripture that I wanted to point out was that in Corinthians. Yeah, it was back in Corinthians. It says, for what do I have with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church, but those outside God judges. We move in here. That's another thing that is very prevalent today. There is how do I term this? The enemy has stirred up such an evil hatred of men and women in this country, maybe even in the world. But there is so much sinful talk going on, even from big leaders in our country, where they're saying things against one another. And there's this war of words where people are, they're just saying horrible things about this group, and they turn around and they say horrible things to this group.
That's right.
And the thing that hurts me the most or grieves me the most is I see people on social media just joining in with that. I thought we, as the body of those who put into this movement, were, oh yeah, they're terrible and they do this, and what are we doing? We're judging those outside the church. The scripture says, don't do that. Leave that to God. Now, yes, it's obvious they're sinners. So our job is to present the gospel. And the gospel is not us bringing judgment, it's the Holy Spirit bringing judgment to them, because we're just bringing the gospel. But don't get caught up in all the demonic stuff that is going on out there, because that's exactly where it's from. And I think all of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We get caught up in this emotion, and we have to. I mean, just the other day, I was on a group text or something with some people that I know. And all of a sudden, we were just having like this friendly chit-chat. And all of a sudden, they just started throwing these political things in there. And I was like, well, I wanted to go in there. I wanted to tell them what they need to know. The Lord said, don't. want you there. But it was such a temptation. Well, I could have been smart and I could have twisted things and just, you know, smack him in the head, but what I really need to do is stand front, face to face with the people and maybe ask them some questions and not sit there and become judgmental. Leave that to God. God's going to judge. In fact, it says that those who don't even know God, they're already under His judgment. Some of them are already reaping the judgment of God. Leave that to the Lord. Don't get caught up in that social media stuff, because then you're just joining in with them and you're doing the wrong thing. Is that good?
Amen.
So what does Paul do with this? He's trying to speak to these two groups of people. They're having a hard time with each other. And he's dealing with all these judging issues. And so what does he do? He does an incredible thing. He tells them all about the gospel again. He spends a lot of time, a lot of chapters, and he just goes through the gospel to remind them of where they came from and where God had brought them to. So let's go through them quickly. And this, some of you know, is called the Romans Road. Anybody know what the Romans Road is? There's one. There's another one. There's not two. Well, I'm going to teach you the Romans Road. And this Roman Road spells out the gospel. For the Jew first, and also the Gentile. So let's start there. Let's turn to Romans Chapter 3, which is right about where we were. And you can mark them. There's actually 7 points, and I'll tell you what the 7 points are. Point number one, verses 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. There is none who does good, not even one. And now he's speaking to the Jew, and he's speaking to the Gentile. He's saying, okay, guys, wake up. Point number one. Point number two is in verse 21 through 25a. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. That was point number two. Number three is in Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For a woman hardly died for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The Jew and the Gentile being reconciled to God based on the Lord Jesus. Number four. That's Romans 6, verses 20 to 23. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I can just see the lights going off in the church in Rome as they're reading this letter, and Paul is addressing their issues, and he begins to just remember, this is who you guys were. You were under the judgment of God. He came in his mercy and his grace to free you. Right? Number 5, Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 9. Actually, we're going to have all 5, 6, and 7 here. But the first one is 8 and 9. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The sixth point. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. And the last, number 7, is verses 12 and 13. But there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, but the same Lord of all. For the same Lord is the Lord of all, bounding riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is us, sinners saved by grace. Stop judging the non-essential things. Judge where sin is. Don't get caught up in what's going on outside of God's house. Now, we can be observant, we can be discerning, and we can be impactful, but don't pass judgment, because we don't know what God is doing in our lives and what God is doing in our lives. Does that sound good? Father, I just want to thank you that your word helps us to discern, it helps us to understand, it helps us to judge appropriately, and it shows us when we are to keep our mouth shut. And I guess that's really the point. There are times we need to speak, and there are times we need to be silent. Give us that discernment. We bless you.